Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. But swing on by there anyways, catch up on what's going on. Of course, while you're over there, you'll see that link. It'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan is on Twitter as well. I am at Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man, the three E's.
Oh, and well, we had our baseball, I guess you call it, brawl over the weekend, even though there wasn't any brawling. The result of this was Nick Castellanos has been suspended for 2 games, and multiple people were fined, you know, through the incident here. Let's see if they have a list of them. Yeah, they have Nolan Arenado, Jordan Hicks, Henry Suarez, and Jeff Winker were all hit with fines. Did you get to see what went on, and what were your thoughts with the fines and the suspension?
I mean, I didn't really see anything. I missed that one, but it must not have been that bad if it was only 2 days for him and a bunch of fines. I guess, well, normally they only, so why was only one guy, Castellanos, suspended? Usually, you know, kind of like in high school, the kid who started the fight and the kid who fought back, usually both get suspended. So, you know, what was the issue there?
Yeah, well, he was the real instigator. What happened is he got hit, and, you know, he did the thing where he offered the pitcher the baseball. He picked the baseball up off the ground, and he offered it to the pitcher. And then he eventually made his way around the bases and ended up scoring on a wild pitch, and the pitcher was covering, and Luciano slid into him at home plate. And then he basically stood over him and flexed like they used to do in the NFL when a defensive guy would make a big hit. Oddly, the pitcher really didn't react much except to kind of get in his face. It was Yadier who came to the guy's defense immediately. Benches empty.
Yeah.
So, you know, Castellano really instigated the entire situation. Obviously, he was under the impression that he was thrown at intentionally because he had homered the day before and kind of camped down the first baseline before throwing his bat towards the dugout. So he was kind of thinking that. Of course, we'll never know. What's odd is the pitcher that hit him wasn't fine. He wasn't part of the fines that came out.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of where I think, that's where it's a little messed up when, you know, you listed off all the people who got in trouble, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't really hear the opposing person. You know, but if you're not going to fine the player, then, you know, if Castellanos is under the impression that he was hit on purpose, I kind of feel like the manager should have been involved in this. You know what I mean? Because that's one of the things. And it kind of goes back to, was it Bryce Harper who really called out on all the BS unwritten rules of baseball? You know, several years back.
Yeah, he was one of the guys.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, was it not last year or the year before, that whole let the boys play or let the kids play? I think that was last year's thing. You know, for what do you call it? Their program, and you know, kind of letting the boys play or letting the kids play, and then doing what they want to do. Being that if they hold on to the bat a little bit longer, you know, after they hit the home run and toss it, you know, I feel like if they're going to do that, as long as they're not eyeballing the pitcher and they're watching their ball go, I don't really see a big issue with it. You know, of course, everyone always, the turning point was Joey Bats or, you know, what's his name from Toronto? Now I can't think of it. Jose Bautista. You know, his bat flip that one year was like, oh, my God. You know, everyone was butt hurt and out of shape. And I can only imagine what the call would have been like if Joe Buck was calling that game. So, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm sure everybody knows exactly what I'm talking about with Joe Buck. But, you know, you kind of put that out there. So, I mean, let's be honest. Do you fault Castellanos for kind of thinking that he was hit on purpose?
Yeah, I actually do, because if you would have watched the continual pitch sequence of this guy, and I don't remember who the pitcher was, he was pretty wild. I mean, you got to remember, Castellanos scored on a wild pitch. So there was obviously something going on with this guy's control. You know, maybe he didn't have it. And, like, the ball that hit Castellanos was just a fastball that just kept running inside. You know, it wasn't thrown directly at, like, on, you know, a lot of the intentional hit-by pitches we'll see. This ball really just took off to the right. So I believe this was more of a control issue, and it was just a guy who decided that he was hit intentionally, even though apparently he asked Molina, and Molina said, no, he's just a little wild today. Not like, I, you know, again, I wouldn't expect Molina to admit to it, but, you know, it was just the idea behind it. And, you know, he got the idea in his head that he was hit intentionally. It didn't matter what else happened. You know, he was going to go after the guy if he had an opportunity. He got that opportunity, and he did it. So now, stupidly, he's going to pay for it with two games. Of course, he did appeal. So he'll probably be reduced to one.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, it was just really a stupid reaction on his part, and definitely a guy who wasn't paying attention to what was going on after his at-bat. So,
yeah. Well, and here's my thing. So it was a little scuffle. The bench is cleared. But so basically what you're telling me is Yadi defused the situation.
Yeah, Yadi did sort everything of. He could to defuse the situation. I guess apparently what happened was I think the reason Jesse Winker got hit with a fine, he started a second kind of pile away from the original deal with Castellanos, the pitcher, and Molina. Again, I didn't see any punches thrown. It was just a lot of name-calling and pushing and shoving. So I can understand why there were no big suspensions handed out. It was just, you know, a bunch of guys backing up their teammates pretty much. You know, I mean, Molina did what any catcher would have done in that situation. You know, and then obviously the Reds came out to back Castellanos once Molina got involved. So, yeah, it you know, luckily it wasn't the melee that, you know, these teams have had before where Johnny Cueto was kicking guys in cleats. So. But, yeah.
And this is where it's kind of stupid to me. You know, it's like, if there were, you know, what is the reason behind the suspension? You know, because it's my and I guess we don't really know the full scope of things, right, with the way they do these things. Because if, you know, is Castellanos getting suspended basically for delaying the game? You know, because, I mean, if that's the way it is, that's kind of, I could see that. You know, and then he's also getting that suspension because Jesse Winker's issue, you know, would have never came about if it weren't for Castellanos.
Right, and I mean, he incited the benches to empty. You know, if he would have just been professional, scored on the wild pitch and went back to the dugout, wouldn't have had a problem. So he incited the entire incident. I believe that's why he got the suspension.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I mean, that's kind of the rules, then. I really don't see a huge issue with it. And, you know, like you said, if he appeals and gets the one game, it is what it is. And to be honest, it's so early in the season, I don't think it's going to affect it. But does this kind of set the tone
I think this is the right call. And, you know, it will be interesting to see if they do reduce it or if he does end up having to serve two games.
Yeah, and, you know, what I was kind of getting to, and, I mean, I don't know what your thought on this is. Do you think this is somewhat setting the tone for who the Reds are going to be this year? And I'm not saying, like, oh, they're going to go out and fight and kick everyone's ass and start trouble. I think more on the lines of aggression and really trying to establish their, you know, their presence in the NL Central, because let's be honest, they really haven't had one. Even though, you know, the media has picked them to be the darlings for a couple of seasons now, but they haven't, you know, even with the troubles that the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Brewers, not really being this, you know, secure championship team, the Reds have not been able to find their way past those three teams. So, you know, is that kind of, do you think that's kind of happening within there? And, or do you think that the press that Castellanos got after leaving Chicago kind of bumped his head up a little bit, made his head grow a little?
Yeah, I honestly wonder if he thinks he belongs in that superstar status with the, you know, the Mike Trout kind of guys. You know, I do wonder that about him because, you know, he was in obscurity in Detroit for so long. You know, then he got to the big market here in Chicago, and really people started to notice him. So when he got the big free agent deal, unfortunately he got it with Cincinnati, who hasn't been a major market team since the 70s when they had the big red machine. So now, again, he's kind of hidden in obscurity. I mean, like you said, when you talk about the Central, you really talk about the Cardinals and the Brewers, and then try to figure out what the Cubs are doing. So you don't really, the Reds name hardly, if ever, comes up. So I think maybe he's a little bumhurt about that. It's a little too early to know if this is who the Reds are going to be or try to be. So we'll have to kind of wait and see on that. You know, maybe they're going to try to be the bullies of the NL Central and see if that helps them get to the top. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting, and a lot happened in baseball this weekend. The one thing, and I don't want to dwell on it, I just want to just get you yes or no answer out of this one. All-Star Game was moved out of Atlanta, Georgia, because Rob Manfred decided to go political. You know, what's your take on it? Do you agree, disagree? I don't want to get – I disagree. I think it was the wrong move for baseball. And, you know, while they think they're doing this great thing, essentially they're just hurting everyone that was involved. And let's be honest, small business, you know, it's not just you kind of making a statement against the legislation in Georgia. you know, you just kind of screwed everybody that down there that was relying on this. So I think they should have stayed out of it, but they're falling to the pressure of political correctness and corporateness this season. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, I understand why he did it. You know, he basically bowed down to popular opinion. I mean, you know, any writer who wasn't a baseball writer mentioned that the All-Star game was still going to be you know, after this. And, you know, I don't live in Georgia. I don't know, you know, I haven't really looked into this voting law. Just the basics I heard made it pretty shady. And the fact that it was signed into law behind closed doors also kind of makes it a little weird. But I, you know, if he would have moved it, you know, he moved it, that's fine. He didn't move it, I wouldn't have cared either way. I don't like to see sports get involved in politics. You know, my fear is now, did he open the door to big thing? You know, would be my only question here. So we'll see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you need to answer this for me then, Dan. Why are they going out and talking about Shohei Ohtani's start being historic last night? When did he become the first pitcher to pitch and hit a homer in a game? Have I missed something over the years? I mean, didn't I see Madison Bumgarner and Michael Lorenzen and I believe even John Lester, who hadn't had a hit until he got to Chicago, homer in games they pitched in?
It's because he pitched and he batted second. Not eighth or ninth, second. But at the end of the day, that's the only thing that makes it historic. But, I mean, you know, that just means the first person to do literally anything is historic. And, you know, and that's the thing. That's just like with every single movie that comes out or, you know, a big play, a big slam dunk by LeBron James or something like that, and everyone wants to throw the word epic around. Okay, you know, if you've watched LeBron James for 5 years straight, you know, chances are you didn't see him dunk for two games, and then the third game, it's an epic dunk. This is epic. And I'm not trying to knock LeBron on this one. It's just kind of giving you something out there. And it's one of those terms that's just – what does it do at the end of the day? So if we get into September and the Los Angeles Angels are in third place and they've missed a wild card game by half a game, the hell difference does it make that Shohei Ohtani in his first start as a pitcher of the season and he hit a home run being the second batter at the plate? You know what I mean? So I think they just get a little too excited.
Oh, God, do they ever. Here's what qualifies as a historic start, though. He pitched 4 2/3 of an inning, gave up 2 hits and 3 runs. Now, only one of those runs were earned. He did strike out 7 guys, which is pretty impressive over that short period of time. But he walked 5, and his pitch count was already up to 92. So he was barely going to give the team 5 innings at the most, maybe 6 if they were lucky. That's historic in today's game?
That's, to me, it's kind of sad. It would have been historic if he did everything he did at the plate and hit 6-7 innings with tops of 1 walk, 1 run, and 9 strikeouts. Historic
right.
would have been him throwing a no, I'm not even going to say a no-hitter, a complete game, 9 innings, and won the game. giving up only one or two runs. So
he didn't even hang around long enough to factor into the decision. He didn't even get the win.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, this is historic. And then, I mean, at the plate, the only thing he did was hit the home run. Otherwise, he was 1-for-3. You know, and while obviously that's a good night at the plate, if it's going to be historic,
yeah. 3-for-3.
Don't you have to have a multiple hit game, at least 2-for-3?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and here, I'm not looking to knock Shohei Ohtani, but he's got a great swing, great home run. I enjoyed watching it. I've seen people for, you know, fans of other teams, oh, if only we had guys that hit like this in our team. there was a guy who commented on Twitter, one of our, an old guest of ours, you know, he was replying to somebody because I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Some, you know, major league reporter or whatever commented, you know, posted Shohei Ohtani's home run and put, remember this when we're talking about universal DH. And the sample size is one at bat.
Yeah.
Big Jack. One pitcher. You know, I'm all for the universal DH, but I also think that the manager has the right, like Joe Maddon and the Angels, or any team for that matter, you know, let's just rewind back to history, Bruce Bochy and the Giants. He did it. You know, Bochy did it where he decided, well, screw it. We're not going to use the DH. We're going to have Madison Bumgarner hit. Granted, Bumgarner wasn't hitting second or cleanup, but, you know, they swapped it out. And I don't think that's an issue. And I think that's where these jackasses need to get their heads out of their ass. Is that too many asses in one statement? Because it just, it doesn't, you know, it's one guy. It's one sample size. He's one guy, and the biggest advantage that Shohei Ohtani has over anybody from this side of the hemisphere of the earth is the fact that he was allowed to grow up into the professional Japanese league doing both.
Yeah.
Where we've discussed this a million times, nobody in American ball, you know, traveling down to the Caribbean and down to South America has this opportunity. I mean, a lot of the guys that come up from, you know, South America, the Caribbean, this and that, people don't realize they get signed when they're like 13 or 14 sometimes. I mean, Carlos Zambrano was signed with the Cubs down in Venezuela when he was 13 years old to work on pitching. He could hit, but, you know, the way the game is now, if you get signed at 13 and you're pegged as a position player, that's what you're doing. You're pegged as a pitcher, that's what you're doing. You're not hitting the ball. So I don't think it's a valid argument that Shohei Ohtani is the reason why there shouldn't be a universal DH. And to second that, they're in the American League. They already have a DH, you dumbass.
Yeah, and, you know, to kind of back up Dan's point, what you have to remember is, you know, a kid gets drafted right out of high school as an 18-year-old. He goes to rookie league. Now he's played, you know, say shortstop and pitcher. If the team decides he's a pitcher, and now this is the National League, he works his way through this team system, say 4 or 5 years. He makes the big league team. He's on the opening day roster. He goes out to make his start. He is now going to hit for the first time in 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, think about that. Try doing something physical or athletic or whatever it is after not doing it for that long a period of time and tell me how you do. You know, I mean, because, you know, even in spring training, they don't hit. You know, sure, they take batting practice and maybe they bunt, but they don't hit. They don't hit the games. So, you know, as much as I hate the universal DH, I understand that it's time for it because, you know, watching some of these National League pitchers hit, you'd swear to God they've never swung the bat in their life.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you know,
and
like
this
you
is
said,
just
you know, Otani's case. He signed really early in Japan, and he played both positions immediately.
Mm-hmm.
There was no you are one or the other when he didn't pitch. He played the outfield. So he immediately did both. Do you honestly think with some of the athletes we have in Major League Baseball that they couldn't have done it if allowed to?
I think they could, hands down, but they're not allowed to.
Right. You know, I mean, we saw Travis Wood. Do you think if he would have been developed coming through the minors as a hitter, he couldn't have done both?
Well, I'm going to say this, but the philosophy that Joe Madden uses, like you're saying, if he had Travis Wood kind of in his system and doing both, I mean, Travis Wood could have been doing both, just like he did, you know, playing the outfield for three innings, coming in and pitching. Going back to the outfield, coming in to close the game out, you know, things like that. But like you said, it's not like that. And, you know, with the new agreement, you know, I mean, obviously this is so easy to say now, but with the way Major League Baseball has redesigned and, you know, kind of worked with Minor League Baseball in the setup now, where I think the teams are going to have literally a lot more control in how everything is developed. If we went back 10 years and Joe Madden is at the status that he is now 10 years ago, and he was able to have that huge influence over the minor league system and not just, you know, the major league team. I mean, do you kind of think that he would have been playing that, where he'd have his minor leaguers pitching and hitting? Of course, it's speculation, and, you know, I'm sure good old Joe would probably agree with us or just laugh it off and come up with some good political statement. But, you know, I think it's possible. But the other side of it is with the owners and the contracts that are given out today, again, I don't want to spend $35 million a year and have Zach Greinke standing at the plate in the fourth inning after, you know, he accidentally beamed a guy. You know what I mean? Or, you know, the unwritten rule stuff. I don't want that. I don't want to see him get hit with an 80, 90, 100-mile-an-hour fastball, even if it's in the ass or the ribs. Especially if I'm an owner.
Now, you know, or a manager or anybody who needs the guy. But now I won't be surprised we see teams try to do this now and develop guys. You know, there was talk that the Reds were going to try to do it with Hunter Greene. You know, allow him to be an infielder and a starting pitcher. Apparently, I believe he needed Tommy John surgery, so I won't be surprised if that plan has been scrapped. But, yeah, it won't shock me at all now if we see a team, you know, teams, multiple teams try to develop guys like that now, you know, just to take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. But, again, it's not, you know, and I think one of the things that people don't realize, and these guys are like, oh, this is why the Universal DH, it's not, you're not going to have 32 teams that have two guys on their team that can do both. It's not
right.
Going to happen.
You know,
I mean,
and
Joey's kind of like the unicorn right now.
Yeah, when you call Ohtani a two-way player, you're not really correct. In reality, he's a one-and-a-half-way player because he doesn't play the outfield anymore.
Yeah.
He's strictly a DH. So there's no, you know, he doesn't play defense at all.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a true two-way player. So, you know, and I mean, nothing against the guy. I mean, it's great that he can do it. I just wish the media wasn't so stupid about it, where, you know, they act like it's the greatest thing in the world and they've never seen it done before, because if you go to any high school game anywhere in probably the world, kids do it every day. You know, I mean, I've mentioned it here before. When I was on the high school team, our best pitcher was also our best shortstop. So he would pitch a couple of times or two a week, and then the other games he'd play short. You know, he'd pitch the first game with a little header. You know, he'd go seven innings for us. And then the next game he'd play seven innings at shortstop. It's not a miracle that guys can do this. That's how we're brought up. That's what you do in Little League. You know, you're pitching to sit out the game after he pitched.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, Big Jack, I just think, you know, I mean, the way of the world today, clickbait, you know, you just want me to click on your crap. And, you know, baseball is a waiting game. I think, you know, big things like this happen in the NFL kind of take off quickly because there's not as many games, you know. But for all the guys that are jumping up and down with Shohei, I think you need to buckle it in, put your seatbelt on, sit down, and enjoy the ride because wasn't Mike Trout the second best player on the team when he was signed after the first
weekend? After the first week or month or something. Yeah, remember Ohtani was going to win Rookie of the Year, the Cy Young, and the MVP as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
So...
You know, and to be honest, last night when I was watching, I was excited. I'm like, this is awesome. We get to see, you know, his at-bat looks great. You know, him standing at the plate looks great. The pitches off the mound looked good. You know, I'm like, this is great to see. But, you know, the injury thing, I think, still has my reservations and why I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the ride. And if he plays the whole season out and can do both for the whole season, I think that's amazing. And I think he'll have great opportunity to, if he doesn't land a Cy Young, to really be in a strong running for the MVP. Because if, I mean, I don't know where you're at, but if he can win, you know, and this is what makes it so hard, Big Jack, because, you know, it's just funny to listen to the Cubs game and Jim Deshays and even saying it because he's trying so hard to talk about wins, but he has to reiterate the fact that aside from him being a former pitcher, that anyone who watch follows baseball today because of Brian Kenny, wins don't mean jack. You know, and I think even for him, and as much as I don't like, you know, listening to him a lot of times because I feel like he confuses me, and I listen to him, and I'm like, I thought you played the game for like 10 years, nothing about the game. But, you know, even his reservation, he doesn't know how to talk about wins. But, I mean, for me, if Shohei Ohtani can win 12 to 15 games and keep an ERA, under 3.5 and still put up good numbers at the plate, I think he's going to be a strong, really strong running for the MVP.
Yeah, you know, and to be fair, he did get injured in the game last night. The Angels are saying it wasn't serious. He had a collision with Jose Abreu while he was covering home plate on a pass ball or a wild pitch. But he is going to be given the day off today, so he's basically day-to-day. So we'll see. Now, this isn't any of the problems before. You got to remember, the last 2 years he had arm trouble. So we'll see how that arm holds up as his starts begin to move along and, you know, all the other fun things that, you know, he's got to do. But he is out of the lineup tonight, so if you're a fantasy guy, get him out of your lineup because he ain't playing.
Yeah, and I got to say, I think if he can stay healthy for the other issues, I think this is going to be a godsend for the Angels and what they were looking for over the last couple of years. You know, with that outfield, the infield looks good. You know, Garrett Richards isn't there anymore.
Sorry I did that to you. I couldn't help myself. He had such a bad outing yesterday. I said, I got to really bad about this one.
Yeah. Well, you know, listening to the Cubs radio broadcast, I thought this one was interesting. So, you know, I guess the general thing around baseball is the good teams are bound to lose like 40 games and the bad teams are bound to lose 60 or, yeah, I forget, it was like a 60-60. You win 60, you lose 60, whatever. But it's, there's like 42 games that you have to worry about, and my math is really off right now, but you know, it's
somewhere
in that
way
realm,
off.
So. Yeah, it was way off. But I don't know. I think this season will be interesting. Just trying to, you know, kind of go through a few things. You know, one of the things we did differently this year, I started, you know, between us and a couple of whoever joined our league, I started a home run derby league this year. I thought it would be fun. I think the fact that there's no prizes involved kind of defaults it, but I still think it's going to be fun, and I have to say, Big Jack, I started the season off great, and I hope it continues to go that way since Jose Abreu hit his first Grand Slam of the season. He was the first one. So I'm up in the running, and I put the points in together, and I did not realize this, Big Jack, but if you get a guy who hits a Grand Slam, you not only get the Grand Slam points, you get the home run points.
Oh. Well, whoever had Nelson Cruz on is really, because he had a Grand Slam and a second home run today, so...
Oh, man. The only thing is, Big Jack, standings don't update till the next day, so you can't really, you know, whatever happens today, you can't check till tomorrow. So, you know, it's pretty exciting. I do have to say real quick, though, thanks for kicking my ass in hockey. I'm glad there's only two more weeks left. I don't want to talk about that. And I was really annoyed because I've been, you know, keeping my lineups changed and whatnot for basketball. And yesterday morning, I was in the lead, and then I got my ass kicked. I went from fifth place to seventh. So I was just flabbergasted. I'm like, I was winning. But then, of course, Zion Williamson got hurt or was taken out yesterday. So that's how it goes. So I just can't wait for those two seasons to be over. I'm just – I don't know. It just – it seemed like such a beat-up year for me, especially for hockey. I thought I was out of the running with the NBA, but – I guess it wasn't. But no, I mean, my teams are doing really good for Major League Baseball right now, but we're only 4 or 5 games in. So.
Yeah, no, I needed the win in hockey. I've actually moved up to 9th place, so I have an outside shot of finding my way into the playoffs. Basketball, the injury is as just – my team is devastated. Once I lost LaMelo Ball, that was it. I slipped from being in like fourth or fifth. I'm all the way down to 11th. So there, you know, unfortunately, it looks like another non-playoff year for me in basketball. And you know, again, that I don't. I think I made the playoffs only the first year we did it, and I don't think I've made it since. But I thought I was going to get in this year, and, you know, you can't, you know, that's the one thing about fantasy, you can't control injuries, and, you know, in a league like ours, it's difficult to find those, you know, those waiver wire pickups, especially this week, this late in the season.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, you know, it just is, you know, maybe I'll get lucky and my team will kind of work its way around, but you know, I'm off, you know, home run league, you know, I'm off to a pretty good start. I think going into the day I was third. You know, the difficult part, of course, was I had Key Brian Hayes and I started him against the Cubs. He homered in the first game and then he got hurt, so my injury jinx is just carrying over all over the place. So you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I had to go into the home run league today. Not only did I have Key Brian Hayes hurt, I had they finally put Cole Calhoun and Eloy Jimenez on the DIL. So I was able to go in and actually pick up some guys and get some replacements. So hopefully, you know, that'll work out. But, I don't know.
I'm sitting pretty right now, Big Jack, with 89 points. I'm, you know, again, 4 games in. We've got 162 or so to go. It will be interesting to see how this plays out for the entire season, seeing as we're not going on like a a week-by-week point system.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, it's my first time setting up a league, so, you know, it is what it is. I just know that we have one player that I just hope gets his ass kicked just for talking crap.
Is he the guy who didn't score last week?
Is he what?
There was one guy who didn't manage to homer. Was he the guy?
No, I wish he was. This guy's name is Inevitable Ballin. So he's tied for fourth with you, 36 points. I'm just hoping that, you know, his season goes kind of crappy. But we do, which I thought was interesting, we have this one guy. His team's name is Bad Guys. And, I mean, he has 0 points. And just to show you how it goes, you never know. I mean, I don't – number one, Mike Trout, you know, Javi Baez have really hurt him. He's Kyle Seager, what's his name again, Max Kepler, Matt Chapman. He picked up Anthony Santander, and then, you know,
he made
some good
picks. It just hasn't worked out.
No, and, you know, and it's funny that he has Javi Baez. Not funny, but just kind of ironic, because this is one of the things I've been thinking about. Well, you know, kind of going back to the Cubs-Pirates series, I found it a little ironic that without Key Brian Hayes with the Pirates, they lost their 2 games to the Cubs. So, you know, coincidence, you know, just the way the ball bounces. But with Javi, are we going to go back to the 2015 Javi now that he's not allowed to go and, you know, adjust according to watching video in between innings?
Well, no, remember, they did change that rule. You're allowed to have an iPad in the dugout. So he can look at video again. I just, you know, I'm beginning to wonder as well what kind of Javi we're going to get, because he just doesn't look right. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm, you know, not overly concerned, but I'd be lying to say that I wasn't. It just, you know, again, we're only 5 games in, or 3 or 4 technically for them. But, you know, his rank is still high. But, you know, so far he's gone 2 for 12. And you would think that he's just a little bit more.
You know, obviously it's too early to panic, but, you know, the problem is we see this so much out of him that it's almost hard not to, you know, because, I mean, last year he was terrible. I mean, granted, it was a short season, and, you know, you just never know, but it's just not what you want to see.
No, and, you know, one of the – so this is for our – I'm going to get to my second point, just kind of a knock at you and Mr. Fantasy. But so one of the interesting things that I put in for a new point system that I don't know if this one was a new one that Yahoo added or was just there before. I don't know. So I put in double plays turned. And I just – the one thing I liked about the way you had set up both leagues in the beginning was the fact that I think so many people, and this is what I love about baseball. Baseball is, you know, like you mentioned, Ohtani's not a two-way player because he doesn't play the outfield. He only hits. So, like you said, he's 1.5. And that's one of the things I liked about, as I learned, you know, fantasy, the way you set up the leagues is you kind of put in every category. You know, you accounted for hitting. You accounted for fielding, strike. You know what I mean? You encompass the entire game as a whole, and I think that's what makes it a little bit more strategic with the leagues that we're in, because the way you set them up, you know, originally. And when I seen all the new ads, you know, some of the new stat ads this year, of course, you know, I had to throw the cycle in, you know, and the grand slam. You got to put that in because those are going to be like those one-off things that, you know, like last week, if I would have had, you know, if I would have Jose Abreu in those leagues, it would have been the one I win, you know, just 1 point. So it would have been kind of cool. But I put in double plays turned. And it's interesting to me because there's 0 so far. Granted, and that's even what Javi – oh, no, I'm looking at today. But, you know, it's one of those things that we'll see how it goes, and I think it'll be, like, another one of those things we'll just play around with and see how it goes and if we want to bring it back next year. But I think just for our sake and just the way we view baseball and the way the game is played today with the whole, strike them out or go for the fences, to see if there still are pitchers who are ground ball pitchers. You know what I mean? So it'll kind of be interesting having that. I know it's such a minute little stat to have in there, but it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out for the season.
Yeah, and, to be fair, our league is the only league that factors in defense. I've never played in another league that actually factors defense into fantasy. So,
because I think before the only one that was available was the putouts. And I like that category because, you go after a catcher or a first baseman, especially a first baseman, you're going to have, depending on who it is, you're pretty much going to, that's a big category, a big part of what they do every day. So, and I was wrong, my team has 10 double plays turned and the other guy only has 4. I found it interesting. I'm going up against a guy who's ranked higher than me. He's played a hell of a lot longer. He was at the draft. He's changing his lineup. But, to be able to just be ahead of a guy so early in the season, I'm like, oh, I just hope it stays where I can continue on the rise and not have that crashing point.
And the tough part, I didn't really think about this until today. Because I believe, I know he was a very early pick. I don't think he was number one. But, if you grabbed Juan Soto or, like I took Max Scherzer in the first round of our Snake League, or if you grabbed Trey Turner or guys like that, you've gotten nothing from them because Washington hasn't played due to COVID. Mm-hmm. They're not playing again tonight. They officially open the season tomorrow. The Mets were in the same boat because they were playing Washington, but they'll open tonight. So, you're looking at guys like, DeGrom or Lindor or, those very early draft picks that, you didn't get the benefit of those weekend games from. It's more of an effect on everyday players than pitchers because you're still going to get, I'm still going to get Max Scherzer start. I just probably would have gotten 2 had they opened on time. So, that'll be the only drawback. But it was just so, so weird when you kind of start thinking about it and you're looking at it, it's like, damn. Because like today I had to go in and I wasn't too worried about it until I realized that the Nationals were playing the Braves and I have a few Braves on my team, my one team. I have Austin Riley and Paichi, so I had to go in and make sure I got him out of the lineup.
So, yeah, and I had a couple, but, it hasn't been that bad. Acuña's out. Starlin Castro's not playing. Yeah. Yasiel Puig's still out. I don't know what team he's on. Oh, wait, that's right. MLB screwed him because he licks his bat once in a great while. The hardest one for me is Big Jack is I don't know what happened. The one league I just bombed the auction league I bombed on starting pitching, so I'm scrambling. But I went with a little bit heavy on starting pitching in the other league, and Jake Odorizzi's NA'd because he started late. I have Kwang-Hyun Kim from St. Louis. He's on the 10-day. Carlos Carrasco's on the 10-day. Brad Hand and Daniel Hudson, 2 relief pitchers that I don't see anything from right now. And then because of they had Dylan Betances. I'm scrambling right now for starting pitching. This is going to be an interesting season. I think, I don't know what the hell I was thinking when I drafted this team. I had to go dig in the trenches and go grab Urania from Detroit, and he just bombed yesterday. But I got the inning. one of the things I was Yeah, but luckily we forgot to change the innings limit. So. It's only at 20 innings. You know, one of the things, like I said, I was scrambling, you know, over the weekend, like, who the hell am I going to get in the pitching, you know, starting pitching? Because 20-team league, man, these guys are hawks in our leagues. You know, granted, we've got a very small turnover, but, you know, the guys in our league know how to play. And they know how to play in our league with 20 teams, and they're on top of their game. So it's hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sat there Friday night and Saturday looking at Loaizaga, Jonathan, I don't know how to say his name, I screw it up every time, from the Yankees, and then John Gray from Colorado. And, you know, I went back and forth, and I'm like, I've had Gray before. He doesn't, you know, just being in Colorado the whole nine, never been that great of a pickup. You know, I used to get him just mainly for innings, you know, and you kind of chalk up that loss. You're like, all right, I'm going to get a loss there, so, but I'll get my innings this week. And I'll be honest with you, Jack, when I seen him pitching well against the Dodgers and the fact that I think right before game time or I don't know if, you know, where it was, I don't know if the guy who picked him up got to start him or not, I was like, oh, I shouldn't have slept on it. I should have just grabbed him for the hell of it, put him in, you know, shouldn't let someone else get him. And then I see him blow the game. So I felt much better about it. But, man, Big Jack, this is going to be a difficult season when it comes to pitching, even with only having a 20-inning limit.
Yeah, well, you know, luckily for me, I know you'll get a big kick out of this. I don't know how anybody listening might. In the auction league, my starting pitching did fairly well. You know, I've already managed to log four starts in, and Jesus Luzardo struggled a little bit for the A's. But my other three starters, Dan, Trevor Bauer, Walker Buehler, Julio Urán.
How did that go
for you? So, yeah, they got me two wins, even in Colorado, they got me two wins and a ton of strikeouts.
Nice.
So, yeah, I was I'm pretty happy with those picks. So, you know, Bauer got double digits of strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Urias had seven last night. Buehler was the one that didn't get a win. He had a little bit of a rough outing, but he didn't give up a ton of runs. So, yeah,
oh,
I was
said
just kind of like, cool. Yeah, I did. I wrong guy. Yeah, Urias, sorry. Yeah, because I was thinking about that because you have him and he pitched today. So, but yeah,
You know, and I got to ask you though. I'm not going to say what's your philosophy or whatnot, but I know this for a fact. This is probably one of the first times you've done this where you've gone after three pitchers on one team. Obviously, you missed Clayton Kershaw. Otherwise, you'd have basically a Dodgers starting rotation. Yeah, but, you know, obviously you're not going to get all of them. I mean, what was your idea behind that, and do you think this is going to affect you negatively in any way, except, of course, if they get hit with the COVID bug?
Yeah, no, you know, humorously, I want Bauer. I'm all in on Trevor Bauer. I think I told you I have him on every team. So I'm all in on Trevor Bauer this year. And in the auction league, I wanted Urias because I thought he would come cheap. I just kind of fell into to Buehler. I was actually trying to run somebody up, and they dropped him on me. I was like, oh, that's okay. I'll take Walker Buehler. I don't mind. You know, he's the kind of guy I don't mind having dropped on me. So it just kind of worked out that way. But the problem was, you know, I had gotten Bauer first, then I got Buehler. It made me hesitant to take the third one. So when Urias finally got nominated, I was like, oh, man, I don't know if I should do this. But then he went for a really good price. I was like, yeah, I can't let him go for that. I got a bid. So, yeah, like you said, barring a COVID outbreak with the doctors or then running into anybody who has COVID, I think I'm going to do okay because they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah. Now, do you think that, you know, obviously Julio's had, you know, I think enough time in Major League Baseball to kind of adapt to the game and whatnot, and Did he go past five innings, or is he still kind of hitting that mark?
I believe he did. Let me see if I can double-check it here real quick. I want to say I thought I saw he hit six. It might actually – six or seven. But he did put in some innings yesterday. So let's grab the let me grab the box score here real quick. My internet will cooperate, and I will be able to tell you. All right. He went seven, three hits, one run, one walk, and six Ks. Only threw 79 pitches in seven innings. So he probably could have went eight if they would have, you know, if they'd have sent him out again.
Yeah, well, I mean, number one, that's just the way the game is played today. That's those are unbelievable pitch count for that many innings. You know, Arrieta kind of was on that roll this past weekend. But no, do you think it's going to have a positive effect on him, the fact that he came into the season with that job as opposed to, you know, front office trying to figure out if they want him to start or come from the pen?
Yeah, well, you know, the humorous thing is you mentioned he's been around for a while. What is he, 22 or 3 maybe at the most? But he's been around for a while, so that's kind of funny. I think anytime you come in knowing that you've got a spot, it helps you. So, you know, that's a big plus. But real quick here, Dan, before we run out of time, we had three games going on. The Twins beat the Tigers 15-6. Your guy Urania took the loss. The Royals are up on the Indians 3-0 in the bottom of the seventh, and the Blue Jays are beating the Rangers 6-1. That game is also in the bottom of the seventh inning. So there you go. And, you know, surprisingly, Dan, how surprised were you that basically today all day starting at noon, the Mickey Mouse Network had nothing but baseball on?
That's kind of surprising.
I was shocked. I'm just them doing it, and I know, you know, it was big news everywhere else. But Dan and I talked baseball because we're baseball guys. The Jets finally gave in to peer pressure and traded Sam Darnold. He's going to the Carolina Panthers. What did the Jets get in return? They got three draft picks, a sixth rounder in this upcoming draft, and a second and fourth rounder in 2022. So, Dan, we will now guaranteed to see three quarterbacks come off the board with the first three picks and possibly a fourth, depending on what the Atlanta Falcons do or if they, you know, if they decide they want their future quarterback, or if they decide to move the pick. The NFL teams, you know, like I said, the Jets gave in to all the media pressure and Josh Donald didn't get a boatload in return for him. Now he's got to beat out your guy, Ted Bridgewater, in Carolina. We'll see how that goes. But like I said, I know, you know, everybody else is talking about it, and it's big news to everybody else. And I got to be honest to you, while I like football, I don't care because it's baseball season. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, the next thing I'm excited about is the draft. And the way they're playing it up with quarterbacks, I don't even really care so much what goes on there. So, let's just get this going.
Well, and to be honest, Big Jack, I think for the last couple of weeks just waiting for baseball to start, we've been struggling to fill some time.
Check out what's going on over there. Links there will lead you to the Facebook page. So put them over there and give that a like. Don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Radio. Feel free to look down below. Welcome to that. And if you manage to stop doing my live, well, thank you very much for doing that. But if you look down, just come over to tunein.com. You can listen anytime you want.